I'd like you to take your Bibles with me, if you would, please. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 down through 11. And kind of working off of what Smokey had to say this morning. And you can turn this off, and we'll do my lapel mic. So it's still really hot, Paula Jean, the mic. I can hear it ringing around me. The mic is it coming down? Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 down through 11. My objective this morning after Smokey's testimony was I just wanted to show you that in the Bible, we should be a church with a big heart. So the title of the message is The Enlarged Heart of a Healthy Church. Because normally an enlarged heart is not a good thing. But an enlarged heart in a healthy church is a good thing. And if you'll look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 down through 11, you'll see where he actually talks about in verse 11, having an enlarged heart as a church. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. It says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness of knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O you Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged." So as the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth under the inspiration of God, he makes that simple phrase down in verse 11 where he says to them, he says, "My mouth is open unto you. I'm talking to you. I'm preaching to you. I'm ministering to you. I'm bringing God's word to you." But he says, "My heart is enlarged to you." And for you and I as part of the church family, you and I as part of Victory Baptist Church, each and every one of us, when we look at this whole text, we come back to verse 4 where it says, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." We are the ministers of God, not just your pastor, but we as a church, we are the ministers of God, one to another. As we encourage one another, as we exhort one another, as we help each other, we do that which the Lord has called us to do. In this text right here, he has three divisions of areas in which the heart was enlarged. It was enlarged by the circumstances of their lives. It was enlarged by their values that they held. And it was enlarged by the perception of their ministries. So you and I today, here we are in the year 2019, and life goes on, doesn't it? Just as back then, events happen in people's lives, all kinds of different events, whether it be a medical emergency like what happened with Suzanne, or a family emergency, or financial emergency. Who knows what tomorrow brings in any of our lives? But yet you and I, as a church family, we step up. We step up to minister to one another. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes people don't want the help. You'd be amazed at how many times I call people who I know are going through crisis. I'll call and they'll never call me back. Or I'll leave a message. They'll never respond. Because they really don't want the help. And then it's part of our church's responsibility to know how far do you go and how when to step back. But yet still, we should reach out. We still should be there ministering to one another. Verses 4 and 5 show us how the circumstances of life at that time affected that church and affected them. It says, "In all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses, in stripes," which means beatings, "in imprisonments, in tumults, which means riotous fighting, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings. So he's saying to the church in Corinth, through all those circumstances, through all those things that were going on in their lives and in the apostles' lives, whether it was a time of affliction or a time of patience, whether it was a time of imprisonments or beatings, whether it was a laborious time or a time when they were just watching for what God was going to do next. He says, through all of this, they were ministering one to another, and their hearts enlarged one to another. But as he comes down through these verses, he transitions from circumstances to values. He starts talking to them about the Christian values that they have as a church and the apostles had under Christ that affected the way they ministered one to another. We see that in verses 6 and 7. He says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And these are the values of Christ in us and through us in each of our lives. He starts out with simply saying the pureness of us living a life that honors God. God says, be holy, for I am holy. He challenges us to apply our faith and live our faith. And here he says, we as a church there in Corinth, him as an apostle and others who were ministering at that time, he says, in pureness, that purity of Christ in and through them, they minister to one another by knowledge, by long-suffering, that patient long-suffering. Because none of us have arrived, amen? We are all a work in progress. And we all require a little patience one with another, don't we? If you've been married, you know life requires some patience. And if you've had children, you know that it requires even more patience. That's part of a family, isn't it? Same thing with a church family. He says these values, the values of long-sufferingness, he goes on in verse 6, he says, in fact, kindness. The simple act of kindness is such a part of an enlarged heart ministering one to another. Each of us just taking that step of being kind. We live in such a world where kindness seems to be so lacking. You and I as a church, we minister to one another even through the simple steps of kindness. It's interesting in verse 6 where he says, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. You see, as the Spirit of God works in us and through us, and we are kind one to another, it's God at work. That's what the church is. It's the arm of God at work here on earth. And so we let him use us, each and every one of us, as we're kind one to another, in purity, being patient by the Holy Ghost. And he says, by love unfeigned. And that word simply means love that's not fake. It's not hypocritical. It's love unfeigned. It's not false, made up. We really love each other because we are a church family. And when one hurts, you know, 1 Corinthians tells us when one part of the body hurts, the whole body weeps. When one part of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. And that is what we have him talking about. As we enlarge our hearts one to another, as we minister to one another, having that unfeigned love, that lack of hypocritical love. Verse 7 says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. He says those are our spiritual values that make us a church who cares for one another. It makes us a church who loves to love one another. And when you look at that, he simply is telling us the word of truth, which is the word of God, even Christ himself, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Putting on that whole armor of God, going into the battle of life each day, facing whatever it is that comes. We face it through the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of God in our lives, and we minister to one another. Those are the values that we hold as we help each other minister to each other as our heart enlarges. The third part of this text comes down and he talks about perceptions. It's very interesting how people perceive a church sometimes and perceive the work of God. The apostles, they faced all kinds of different ends of the spectrum, from people wanting to worship them to people wanting to stone them. I mean, that's pretty far extreme, isn't it? When you go to the book of Acts and you see those things. You see the apostles say, "Don't worship me, I'm a man just as you are a man." But neither did they want to be stoned to death either. So as you come down to these last few verses in the text, he talks about the perception of others and how that shapes us as we minister to one another. Listen to what he says in verse 8. He says, "By honor and dishonor." So whether they're honored or dishonored, whether they're talked good about or talked bad about, they are just going to keep on ministering. They're going to keep on having an enlarged heart. They're going to keep on doing what they do for the cause of Christ. And you and I have to do the same thing. Even if somebody talks badly about you, you don't stop helping others. You don't stop ministering to others. You don't stop being kind. You don't stop being patient. We as a church family, we have unfeigned love one for another. Even during that honor and dishonor. He comes down in verse 8. He says, "By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report." It's amazing as a pastor, I can be talking to one person and they'll say to me, "Yeah, you know, I was talking to so-and-so and they told me, but it's the greatest church on earth. You know, you're the greatest pastor that's ever been born," you know, on and on and on. And then I can meet somebody else and they can say, "Oh yeah, wow, I was talking to somebody who visited your church 10 years ago and man, they said it was the most unfriendly church they'd ever been to. You're the worst preacher there's ever been born." You know, and they can go right through and tell me all kinds of horrible things. Listen, we just keep on keeping on, don't we? It's what you do. You just keep on, and that's what the apostle's saying. He's saying, listen, whether it's dishonoring that they're saying or honoring, whether it's a good report or a bad report, we're just going to keep on loving people and ministering to people. And that's what you and I have to do. He goes on in the last part of verse 8, he says, "as deceivers and yet true." So there might be people who said of the apostle, they might have said, "Well, he's just a deceiver." But he says, wait, they may say that, but we are telling the truth. We're telling the truth. We're opening the book. We're telling the truth. The apostles, they were diligent in quoting Christ and quoting the Old Testament, making sure that what they said was true. Even if people called them a deceiver, they just kept being true. And that's what you and I have to do. No matter what it is that people say, we have to keep on ministering to one another. We've got to keep having an enlarged heart and embracing and caring, no matter what people say. And that's what he's saying. He goes into verse 9, he says, "as unknown and yet well known." So there maybe were people who were saying, "Who's this Paul guy?" And other people are saying, "Paul? Paul of Tarsus? You mean Paul that was Saul? Yeah, we've heard of him. He's famous." He says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I'm known or well-known or unknown. It doesn't matter. We're not doing it for fame, are we? We as a church, we're up on top of Woodman Hill in the little tiny state of Vermont, off on the far corner of the United States. Believe me, they're not getting ready to do an expose on our mega church on top of Woodman Hill. Whether we are known or unknown is irrelevant. It just doesn't matter. We still love one another. We're still patient with one another, kind to one another, long-suffering in every way, letting the Holy Spirit work in and through us. We're not doing it to be famous, are we? Oh, that went silent. No, we're not doing it to be famous. He says whether known or unknown, it's irrelevant. It just doesn't matter. So he comes on down and he says in verse 9, he says, unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. Isn't that interesting? He tells them, he says, there's folks who are saying, oh, they're just dying over there. And he says, yet we live. Yet we live. And that's an interesting fact about humanity. Humanity loves the worst. They love to say the worst. You know, somebody hears you're not feeling well, and it goes down through the telephone chain a few times, and next thing you know, you get a call from somebody who says, hey, listen, I heard you're terminally ill. How many days you have left? Well, I only have the cold. I'm okay. He says, dying, yet we live. You know, it's an interesting thing that people, they just love the worst. And Paul says, no matter what, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad people say it is, we just keep living on. We just keep doing the work we have to do. And that's what a church must do. Whether it's during a slump or the highest of highs, whether it's an anniversary Sunday with 400 or a low Sunday with 150, Victory Baptist Church just does what it does to minister to others. We're going to minister to boys and girls. We're going to minister to young marrieds. We're going to minister to middle-aged folks. We're going to minister to old folks. In fact, listen, I minister even after they're dead. Not to them, but to their families. It's what we do. And that's what he's saying. He's saying it doesn't matter what the perception is, we just keep enlarging our hearts. We just keep ministering to others. That's what a church is supposed to do. He comes down into verse 10. He says, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. And every church does have some sorrowful times, doesn't it? I've done some funerals in the last few years that have been some exceedingly difficult funerals because they're people I've pastored for 30 years. They're like my parents. They're like my siblings. They're part of my heart. And we sorrow. We go through those deep valleys as a church family. But you know what? Even in the midst of them, we rejoice. We rejoice to know that the Lord is with us. We rejoice to know that those brothers and sisters in Christ are in heaven. We rejoice to know that we as a church could make a meal and encourage and minister to those who have lost a loved one. So whether in sorrow, we still rejoice. That's what a church is supposed to do. He continues in verse 10. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. It's interesting that Paul says, whether I have much or whether I have little, I'm therein content. He says, when I'm poor, I'm busy making other people rich. I want to minister to them and give them the wealth of the Spirit of God in their lives. The biblical principles and teachings that change and enhance and help others grow. That's what you and I are about. So whether you are absolutely broke or flush, it doesn't matter. You help others. You help others. Whether you have just a little bit or much, you help others. Through the years of pastoring here, I have sat down with some folks who have given money to the church, and I've sat down with them. I've said, are you sure? Because I know they're struggling. They're struggling. And I've had them look at me and say, Pastor, this is what I want to do. And I'll say, are you sure? It's what I want to do. Because they want to help others, so they choose to do it. Whether we are poor or whether we are rich, we minister to others with an enlarged heart. It's what we do as a church, as a family. He goes down in verse 10 as he gets ready to wrap it up. He says, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You see, he gives us the proper perspective. We possess all things because we have Christ.
We have hope. We have peace. We have guidance. We have one another. We have the Lord. He says, we have what we need. You may think to yourself, well, yeah, but if I just had a newer car, it's not long before it's not newer and it's old. Amen? If I just had a bigger house, yeah, but then the kids grow up and they leave and then you're in an empty house and you're wishing you had a smaller house. Life cycles that way, doesn't it? And yet he's saying here to us, he says, we have all we need. We have what we need. You and I as a church, we need to make sure our heart is enlarging. That we are ministering one to another. That we are letting the Holy Spirit do His work through us. That's what we're about. That's why God put us here. You and me. When the Lord added Smokey and Suzanne to the church, none of us ever imagined that she would scare us half to death on that Friday night. But you know what? The Lord used that bad for good. And that happens in all of our lives. But we as a church must always be there to gather around, to pray for, to encourage, as much as people will let us do. That is the work of Christ. I'd like you to bow your heads for just a moment. We're not going to have a regular invitation, but I do want to take just a moment for each of us to look in our hearts and ask ourselves, A, do I know Christ? Have I received Him into my heart and life? Do I have a relationship with Him like the apostle is writing about? If you don't know Christ, please don't leave here today without talking to me or talking to Mrs. Taylor. Let us open the Bible. Let us answer your questions. Let us pray with you today that you might receive Christ. And you that are Christians, as you bow your head right now, are you willing to minister to others? Are you willing to enlarge your heart that God might use you? Father in heaven, I pray that it would be you that stirs our hearts and moves in our souls. Help us to be a church family that in unity strives in every way to be used by you. In Christ's name I pray, amen.